Folded Hearts by Festive Ferret. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Tony was not drunk. Definitely not drunk. Could he see the bottom of his eggnog glass? Yes. Was it for the first time that night? No. But was he drunk? Definitely not. He reached to hang a silver bell on a high branch and nearly stumbled into the tree. Okay, perhaps he was a little bit tipsy. But he couldn't really blame himself for wanting to take the edge off. Christmas was getting harder and harder as all his friends got married and had kids and posted adorable shots on Instagram, where even the dogs had matching pajamas. And Tony was alone. Of course, if he posted that on social media, all he'd get in reply would be photoshopped gifts of him crying into giant piles of money. He couldn't lie and say he hadn't been lucky in some regards, but sometimes he still wished he could give it all up, just to have that special someone. As if the box of ornaments he was unloading had read his mind, the next one he pulled out was a small, delicately folded origami swan. The creases worn to white on the blue and red paper, its beak permanently crooked. Tony's heart ached as he cradled the tiny bird. Steve Rogers. He hated to use the phrase "the one that got away," since he and Steve still texted regularly, but man, it sure felt like he was. They'd met when Tony was in his senior year at MIT and Steve was a freshman at BU, which actually put them at the same age. A friend of a friend had introduced them at a party. They'd hit it off. And the following year, they'd ended up sharing a two-bedroom apartment that Tony had paid 80% of the rent on, but hadn't wanted to live in alone. Steve had been a great roommate and a fantastic friend and the most intense, unrequited crush Tony had ever experienced, still to this day. He had fallen hard from the moment he met him, small but fierce, surprisingly sarcastic, deeply brilliant, and kind to a fault. And he'd never really unfallen. By the time he'd learned Steve was actually bi, he was dating Sharon. And by the time he broke up with her, he and Tony were already roommates. And Tony couldn't ask his roommate out. If the answer was no, Steve would have felt too awkward to stay. But he'd had nowhere else to go. They didn't really talk about it head on, but the deal Tony gave Steve on rent was probably the only way he could afford to stay in Boston at all. Tony couldn't rob him of that. So he'd let it be, quietly loving him. And then suddenly Steve was graduating and Tony was finishing his second PhD, and Steve was moving to New York to take a job at a museum, and Tony was moving to Malibu to take over his ailing father's company. And now they texted. It was fine. Tony was over it. He eyed his rapidly dwindling eggnog again. The paper swan had been a gift from Steve at the last Christmas party before they'd parted, when they already knew they'd be moving out in May and this magical period of their lives would be coming to an end. Someone, maybe Bruce, had gifted Steve a book of origami patterns and a stack of pretty patterned paper, and Steve had taken to it like a duck to water, his determined tongue peeking out from between his teeth as he made each fold. He'd handed the swan to Tony, an adorable flush coloring his cheeks, and said, "Merry Christmas." There was a little loop on top to hang it from a tree. Tony had wanted to kiss him so badly, but he just said, "Thanks." And that was that. That first Christmas alone in Malibu, 3 months after his dad died, the swan was the only ornament Tony put up. He'd grabbed a tiny tabletop tree on the way to the checkout with an amount of alcohol that would have concerned the cashier at any other time of the year, and defiantly put it on his work table at home. He hung the little swan from the top, texted Steve, "Merry Christmas," and turned off his phone before he got a response. Since then, holidays had gotten both harder and easier. A few times, Tony had even thought about going back to Boston to spend the season with some of their old friends. But it wouldn't feel right without Steve there, too, the nostalgia tainted. He'd hinted a few times that Steve should come too, but Steve had always seemed inclined to stay in New York, and Tony felt too awkward to invite him directly. Tony rubbed the wing of the swan between his fingers. He missed those days. Or really, he missed certain parts of those days. Maybe I should move to New York, he mused, then laughed and shook his head at his own transparency. Maybe I'll just ask Steve after 7 years as distant acquaintances if he'd actually like to marry me. Tony took another sip of his drink and turned to face the tree again, trying to decide where to hang the swan. His fingers kept idly rubbing the wing until suddenly he felt it crinkle under his thumb. Shit. Tony set his drink down and sat on the couch to examine the paper. It wasn't torn, but the two halves of the wing had been parted and the white inside of the paper was now visible. Tony was just about to Google how to origami a swan to make sure he put it back together right when he noticed the writing. There was writing on the inside that Tony had never seen before. Years old, faded writing in Steve's hand. It took all of Tony's self-control to peel the paper open, one fold at a time, so as to not tear it. His fingers were trembling by the end. It was probably Steve's grocery list, or his Christmas list, or maybe instructions to remind him how to fold the swan. Maybe clues from a crossword. Tony's heart pounded as he unfolded the final crease and spread it out flat. It wasn't any of those things. Tony, I've never found the courage to say this to your face, so I'm going to put it in the hands of fate. If you find this message, I'll know it was meant to be. And if you don't, well, all for the best, probably. And if you do, but you don't feel the same way, that's okay. But for the sake of my heart, just pretend you never found it. I know you care about me enough for that, at least. I'm running out of space already, so I love you. I have, practically since we met. You're not just my best friend, you're the person I want to be with all day, every day. I hope you feel the same, but if you don't, know that I'll keep loving you. And you'll always be the most important person in my life. Merry Xmas and Happy New Year. Steve, less than 3. Tony just sat there breathless, reading the message over and over, wondering if the words would fade to nothing but a hallucination if he stared long enough. But they stayed. The ink rumpled and rubbed worn, but still clear and readable. Steve loved him? Or rather, had loved him back then, and Tony had missed his chance. Or had he? Tony scrambled for his phone before his better judgment could take over. He dialed Steve's number. This was stupid, right? It was stupid. It was Christmas Eve, and Steve would probably be Tony. Tony kept blinking at the long hidden message on the paper. Are you okay? Steve sounded worried now. Did something happen? I found your note. What? Your note. I didn't send you a note. Tony, are you drunk? No. Maybe a tiny bit. That's irrelevant. I found your note in the swan. How the fuck was I supposed to find that? It was 7 years ago, Steve. What the hell? There was a long, tense silence. Then Steve just whispered, Tony, shakily. I never opened it. I just thought, it never occurred to me there might be something inside. I swear I didn't find it until today. Steve swallowed audibly over the phone line. And? I hope this doesn't ruin our friendship. I made peace with you not feeling the same as me a long time ago. Not too much peace, I hope, Tony said. What? Steve breathed. I know it's been a long time, but if I'd found this note back then, I would have what? Taking you to dinner? Then kissed you like I wanted to from the moment I first met you. maybe not in that order. Actually, my self-control is famously bad. Wow. And now? Are you single? Yes. Do you still? I mean, it's been a long time, but could I still take you to dinner? There was a sharp intake of breath from the other side of the phone. Yes. Yes, please. And the other thing? God, I hope so. Wow, Tony. Steve breathed. I can't believe. I really thought you'd seen it and just didn't want to risk our friendship. Are you free tomorrow? What? Tomorrow, Tony asked. For that date. Steve laughed. Tomorrow is Christmas, and you're 3,000 miles away. That doesn't really answer my question. Steve's voice was warm as he said, Yeah, I'm free. I was just planning to watch holiday movies in my gym jams all day, but I'd much rather spend it with you. You want to FaceTime or something? Or something, Tony mused. I can't believe it's been 7 years. I can't believe I could have said yes all those years ago if I just noticed the message. Steve sighed. I should have just told you. I knew it was hard to find that way, but I did it anyway. It was cowardly. I guess I wanted it to be out of my hands, up to the universe. But I should have just manned up and told you the truth. At least you did something. I just let you fly off to New York and didn't even try. Well, we can't change the past, Steve said brightly. But maybe we can make a new future together? I hope so. He paused. And Tony? Yeah? If it doesn't work out. If we missed our chance or whatever, that's okay. As long as I have your friendship. You mean so much to me. Me too, Tony said. You'll always have me, but I'm excited to try this. He itched to start making his big plans. It's late over there. You should get some sleep. Just be ready for our big date tomorrow, around 2. Steve laughed again, delighted. Absolutely. I'll be ready. The next morning, Tony pulled up at the airport where he kept his private plane, a gift bag in the back seat in his heart and his throat. This was probably a crazy idea, but it was also his first chance in a long time to spend Christmas with someone he loved who apparently loved him back, and he wasn't about to pass that up. He probably should have warned Steve that their date wouldn't be over FaceTime, but he was so sure something would go wrong trying to get there, and he didn't want to make a grand promise and go back on it. But thankfully, the service that provided his pilots had one on staff who didn't celebrate Christmas and was happy to fly Tony. By the time they landed at JFK, Tony's heart was pounding and his palms were sweating. His mind raced on the car ride to Steve's place. What if Steve had changed his mind? What if Tony was moving too fast? What if Steve did have other plans today, and he'd only meant to spend a little time with Tony? What if this was fucking insane? But then Tony was standing outside Steve's apartment door, and it was time to fish or cut bait. He knocked. Just a second. Steve's voice called from inside. And then a moment later, the door opened. There was a terrifying pause, and then, Tony. Steve launched himself through the doorway and landed in Tony's arms. Oh my God, you're here. Tony squeezed Steve tight, letting himself pull in a deep breath with his face buried in Steve's hair. Wow, it's been so long. Steve leaned back to beam up at him for a moment, clearly shocked. You're here, he repeated more softly. I hope you don't mind. Tony fiddled with the collar of Steve's shirt. I know it's a bit eccentric. Steve laughed. It's perfectly you. Come inside. He kept hold of Tony's hand as he led him into his apartment. Tony looked around as Steve dragged him towards the living room, noticing bits and pieces from their old life together. Steve sat him on the couch, and Tony abruptly realized that while Steve was wearing a really nice button-down dress shirt on top, on the bottom, he had boxers with kangaroos on them. Tony snorted out a laugh and Steve crossed his arms. I thought we were having a video call. Tony reached for him, eyebrows waggling, but Steve darted primly out of the way. You wait here. He held up a finger, then disappeared down the hall and into a room Tony assumed was his bedroom. A moment later, he returned in the same shirt, but with jeans on now. He sat on the coffee table opposite Tony. He grinned. You came all the way to New York. Merry Christmas? Best Christmas present ever. Hope not, because I also brought you very expensive wine. Steve scooted a little closer, cheeks pinking. Very expensive wine is nice, but it does nothing on getting to see you. Tony couldn't stop his hand from reaching out to cup Steve's face. When Steve's eyes fluttered shut, then opened again, Tony stroked his thumb across his cheek. Is this... Before he could finish asking, Steve rocked forward and pressed their lips lightly together. Tony leaned into the kiss for a moment before easing back again, keeping his hand on Steve's cheek. I've read your note 1,000 times, Tony confessed. Steve groaned and dropped his face in his hands. I'm so embarrassed by that. Why didn't I just tell you? Or send you an email? Tony laughed and drew him onto the couch beside him, one arm around his shoulders. Steve leaned against him. I have something for you. Steve laughed. I do like wine. Actually, Tony pulled out the gift bag from where he'd slid it by the side of the couch and tugged out Steve's actual gift, nestled next to the wine bottle. I had to watch so many YouTube tutorials. It's a swan, Steve breathed. He cupped the tiny origami creature in his hands. It was much less swan-like than Steve's original had been, crooked and kind of sloping to the left, but Tony had tried his hardest. It's perfect. Thank you. So, I'll admit, 90% of my date plan was just getting to New York. Is there something you want to do? I said I'd take you out to dinner, but it's still a bit early. Steve hummed, watch Home Alone and eat popcorn. They put the movie on, but they barely watched it, too caught up in sharing the little details that hadn't come through in once monthly texts or annual group video chats. They were 2 hours into the paused post-credits when Steve's stomach growled loudly and he blushed. Hungry? Tony asked. Steve shrugged coyly. Little bit, but I hope you don't mind if we stay in. It's really comfortable here with you. Of course. Tony scrolled through local delivery options on the app on his phone. Almost all of them were closed, but Steve's favorite Chinese takeout was open. So Tony selected one of everything that looked good and placed the order with a tip large enough to be a phone number. 40 minutes later, a heavily laden delivery person showed up, and Tony and Steve spread everything out on the coffee table. 40 minutes after that, a shocking amount of it was gone. Wow, Tony said, you were hungry. Steve's cheeks tinted an adorable pink. I have a good appetite, he muttered, curling away from Tony. But Tony reached for him, drawing him closer. It's cute, Tony assured him. I'm impressed by your ability to put away spring rolls. Tony abruptly realized how closely they were sitting, nearly nose to nose, and he swallowed hard. Steve's tongue tracked a path across his bottom lip. Then he leaned in, gaze flicking from Tony's eyes to his mouth. He licked his lips again, and Tony leaned in the final inch to claim them. The kiss started soft and sweet, but quickly deepened into something that felt more like it was making up for 7 years apart. Steve crawled forward until he was nearly in Tony's lap, bringing both his hands to the sides of Tony's face. Time went fuzzy, and Tony's lips started to tingle, but he couldn't bring himself to stop, even though the shadows in the room were growing longer. Eventually, Tony drew Steve into another deeper kiss, then pulled back with a sigh. I guess I should get going. It's getting pretty late. Do you have somewhere to stay? Steve asked. I was just going to fly home. Oh. Steve was clearly trying not to pout. I mean, do you have to? Not tonight. I have to do some work stuff tomorrow afternoon, though. But I could fly out in the morning, if that's what you want. Tony desperately wanted to stay, but he didn't want to pressure Steve to move too fast. I'd like that. Steve kissed Tony's cheek. I have a spare toothbrush you can use. Tony grinned. It's going to be really fucking hard to leave you tomorrow morning. Steve said. Then he cut himself off. What? Well, I have the whole week off until after New Year's. I can't ask you to fly out again, but maybe I could get myself out your way. Come back with me, Tony said impulsively. What? I have a private plane. You don't need a ticket. Fly to L.A. with me tomorrow. You can stay for the day or as long as you like. I'll fly you home whenever. Really? What's the point of having all this shit if I can't use it to spoil my... Tony cut off, clearing his throat, and Steve laughed lightly. Your boyfriend, he teased. Not if you're not ready to be. Steve grinned. I've been ready for a long time. I'd love to come back to L.A. with you. We still have so much to catch up on. It's a date. They danced around each other as they got ready for bed, eventually curling up side by side under Steve's cozy duvet. Steve kissed the end of Tony's nose. Thank you for today. It was perfect. Even if it was 7 years late? Not late. Just right. We'll make the next 7 years count double. The end.